The Jeep brand has always stood for American freedom. Now with our Freedom of Choice pricing program, you can choose your offer. Cash incentives or employee pricing for all. Hurry into your local dealer today for details. Jeep, there's only one. Offer valid on select 2024 and 2025 Jeep brand vehicles for non-FCA employees and retirees. $200 admin fee applies. Not all buyers and lessees will qualify. Restrictions apply. Not combinable with other offers. Ends 4/30/2025. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
How do you get into art investing?
So, you know, I used to get these big bonuses. The wine and spirits business is a bonus-based business. And I would get these big bonuses and I would, you know, buy a watch, buy a purse, buy all the toys.
The things.
I like things. And I remember hearing a record, I think it was a Jay record, and he talked about art. And I was like, I have not bought that yet. You know, it pricked my conscience. And the first real piece that I invested in was a piece of art from South Africa from an artist named Nelson Makomo. It was an incredible artist. And the reason why I say invested in it is because it was literally half my bonus. And it was hard for people to understand. They were like, you're going to spend what? What are you talking? That's a lot of money. Just because we haven't really been taught the value.
How much was it?
It was like $25,000.
And who educated you to know that that was something that you should buy?
Well, in with that purchase, I just loved it.
You just looked at it and just liked it.
I loved it, and I researched the artist, and it fell in line with just kind of me falling in love with South Africa too, you know, and I loved it. So I think the first thing that I always like to tell people is, even though I invest in art, I only invest in what I love. Like, if I don't love it, I'm not really going to spend my money on it. And so I've been really fortunate to get to know a lot of artists directly, buy from artists directly, so you circumvent the whole gallery and all that kind of stuff. And you're supporting the artist. Like, the artist is getting 100%.
How much is that worth now? You know?
I don't know.
That's interesting, right? I see it. I love
it. Definitely worth more than what I bought it for.
I'm assuming that. Maybe it was Picasso Babies, the J song, that might have sparked it. But does that now spark your love for art, or did it just translate to South African art, right? Did you start studying American artists throughout the world, and now this becomes a passion for you based on that one purchase?
Yeah, you know what I realized? Art for me was, I just got lost in it. Like, I realized, I was like, I love this. Like, I had just like this genuine passion for it. I didn't grow up going to museums. I didn't grow up going to art exhibits. I didn't grow up in a house where there was art. And so I think for me, I was like, oh, wait, we belong here too. You know, that it was really that fueled me. I was like, wait, this is a space that we belong in as well. And there's such an incredible art community. So I also was enjoying like getting to meet people, you know, and those people are like involved in some cool stuff, you know? So I think it was that, definitely, you know, African art, Black artists in general, you know, was something that I was like, okay, I love this. These stories are incredible. And then it became like, yeah, like, you know, I remember buying a piece. You asked about the value. I bought a piece for like $12,000. And I remember seeing an auction for the artist, and her piece sold for $90,000. And like, I have one of her bigger pieces, earlier works that I bought for $12,000. That's clearly gone up in value. So I then also started just to understand like, oh, okay, this is how that works. And then I think when you study really wealthy people have a few things in common. They have real estate. A lot of them have a lot of investment in wine, and they invest in art. And I was like, okay, this all kind of makes sense for me. You know, this is the space that I play in anyway.
So how many pieces do you have? Roughly?
Oh, now I probably have over 40 or 50 pieces of art and everything, not just, you know, I have sculptures, I have vases,
where do you keep it all?
It's everywhere. I mean, it's in my bathrooms, it's on the floors.
But does it ever get to a point, because it's like, all right, you could invest in a variety of things, that art is somewhere where it has to be kept, right? Mm-hmm. So after a while, it's like, you can't really fully appreciate it, I don't think, because you can't put it on your wall. You can't put 50 pieces of art on one wall, right? So it's like, you could put it in your office, you can put it in different places, but when you really start to get a lot of art, I'm always curious to know, like, what are people doing with all of the art that they, are they just hoarding it in the basement?
Take the Dame Dash roll.
Yeah, I mean, listen, people do have, you know, art storages that are specific for art, just like they have wine storages. For me, I'm working to sell a lot of wine so I could buy a nice big house so I could have all my art up in it. You know, I mean, now it's...
Because the art storage, that kind of... I don't understand that. I used to go to art school when I was young, but I don't understand art storage, because the point of art is to be appreciated. And if you're just storing it, I feel like it's actually disrespectful to the art form, right? Because now you've taken the beauty out of it, and now it's just become like a file cabinet.
Yeah, you know? I think it's a double entendre. You use the word appreciated. While it's stored, it is appreciating.
It's appreciating.
But it's,
I get what you're saying.
Look at art, from an artist standpoint, I understand the business.
Yeah.
But art should always come first. The business should come second.
Well, some people create galleries, right? They create their own galleries. Yeah. Which,
I mean, I know people who have like bought the houses next to their house, and the house next to the house
is for art.
It's a gallery.
Which is amazing, right? Yeah. So I'm with you, like, part. And when you ask me, like, the buying, you know, my rationale around buying, I only buy what I love, because like you, I want it up. I want to see it. I want to appreciate it. I also want to share it with people. So like when friends come over, they'll be like, your house is like a museum. And that makes me feel so good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah. So everybody does it for a different reason. But what I could tell you is, again, one thing I learned is that people that understand wealth, they into art, they into wine, and they into real
estate. Well, one thing I learned about art is that if you put it in your office, it's a tax write-off.
It is a tax write-off.
Yeah. So I was saying the one of the places that we definitely know that your art is going to show up is the Smithsonian.
Yes.
Talk about that. I mean, that's something that people will be able to frequent and go down in history forever, right?
Yeah, that's exciting. So myself and 10 collectors got together. We've now acquired 3 pieces together, and it's our way of, you know, collective economics. And we purchased a piece, a Bisa Butler piece, that we then donated to the Smithsonian Museum in D.C. And so my name will forever be on the museum walls at the Smithsonian as a donor of the piece. And that, even that little thing, right, like, we talk about like having the art in your home and wanting to see it. I remember thinking like, wow, donating to a museum. But that's really also a big part of, you know, the art world, art collecting, and also increasing the value of your collection. So my collection inadvertently increases in value because I own a piece in a museum. And people who are in the art world, they know all these little nuances.
Yeah, do you see... Because we talk about it in real estate, right? A lot of times, if people can't afford the property, let's have a collective. Maybe it's 5 people and we make the down payment or we go into... Do you see that? Is that something that happens in the art world often, especially amongst our community?
You know, I don't want to misspeak. The collective that I'm a part of, that was the first instance that I had ever heard of it. Okay. I'm sure people are doing it. I just don't know. You know, the 2 pieces we bought... they were both $150,000 each. They go together. It's Adam and Eve by Harmonia Rosales. So the total price of the work was $300,000. And when we all thought about it, we were like, I can't do that, but I could do this. And so 10 of us got together and purchased it. Those 2 pieces have been on display at different museums. It's actually at the Spelman Museum right now. And so we're allowing the work to just tour so people get to experience it. And once we did that one, we were like, all right, let's keep doing this. This is amazing. So I don't want to say that it does happen, but I don't want to say that it doesn't happen. I just wasn't aware of it. I know that when we had the opportunity to do it together, I said, come on, y'all, let's do this, because it was $30,000.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I'm part owner of $300,000 worth of art.
Yeah,
and that's just that one buy.
So what are like some best practices for people that want to get in art? Like, is it like always go through a art dealer, have insurance? Like, you know, like when you buy a watch, right? Like it's best practices to go through an authorized dealer as opposed to just a jeweler.
Right.
It's best practices to have insurance on the watch.
Right.
what are some of the best practices for art buying?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really fortunate. I've been able to buy a lot of art directly through artists. And the reason why I say fortunate is because, one, you get to know who you're buying the work from. I mean, this work is in your home. It's energy, right? A lot of these pieces have stories. These artists may be going through different things while they're actually creating the work. And so, I'm an advocate for people that want to get to know the artists if you can. It's worked for me. Secondarily, you know, I've gotten to know some galleries that I respect that I think are doing good by artists. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to have some galleries in your repertoire. Only buy what you can afford. And so I would say that that's my biggest advice to people. You know, I've never financed any art, although you can. Mm-hmm. You know, there are financing programs for art, but I just like to think for good financial hygiene, buy what you can afford. That's worked for me. You absolutely have to insure your art, and you have to make sure that it's a reputable insurance that specializes in art insurance. You need to think about where the art is going to be in your home. A lot of light is not art's friend.
Like a lot of light.
Yeah, so
it ruins it?
It can. Yeah, it can. So, you know, making sure that the art is in a position in your home that it isn't getting damaged, making sure that you're framing with a reputable framer that's going to talk to you about UV glass versus museum glass. I mean, this is all the stuff that goes into thinking about preserving your art. And then, you know, I've not been someone who's gotten into the business of selling my art. I know people that are in that business of selling. I can't say that I would never do it. For me, it's legacy building. So this is what I'm going to leave behind for my son, my goddaughters, my grandchild. You know what I mean? Like, this is really legacy building for me and wealth building for them. So I think it's just making sure you get educated like you do in anything that you're going to be investing your money. And the last thing I'll say is the 10 people that I invested in art, I respect all those people. I respect their portfolios, right? What they've done with their money. I would have never just gotten with 10 people and bought some art that I didn't know I felt were a good fit in what I was trying to do. Because that's a relationship. You're getting into a business relationship with them. But I think the biggest thing is buy what you can afford. And then do all the due diligence, the insurance and all that kind of thing to make sure you're protecting your asset.
So when it's touring, the museums are paying to have it on display? How does that work?
Yeah, so sometimes you will get paid by museums to have the work. Sometimes it's that you're donating it because you want the connection. You want to lean into the equity of the institution, right? A lot of these institutions have incredible equity. Smithsonian, for example, I mean, for me to say that I've been collecting for 5-6 years and I have my name in the Smithsonian Museum is like a big deal. So, you know, it's a mix. But yeah, there are times when institutions will pay you to actually have your art in their exhibits.
With the IHG One Rewards Premier Business Credit Card, earn up to 200,000 bonus points. Limited time offer ending April 30th. Visit ihg.com/businesscard. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC. Offers subject to change. Terms apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.